Hey, konnichiwa, minasan. It's Gray from Akazashi's Tea House over in Japan. How are you doing? Are you good? Are you genki? Man, I've had a great weekend, kind of busy weekend. I've got a buddy over from the UK who is actually, he's a jiu-jitsu sensei. He's like the UK boss, the main sensei over there. I've known him for quite a few years, but I haven't seen him since before the crazy thing that can't be named from China, you know, stopped worldwide traveling. So great to see him. We had a wild weekend. Saturday night was a crazy night of good Japanese food and too many great Japanese beers. Just say that. So anyway, what have we got today? Today it's Gray's Pick a Mix. It's my picks of comics from last week, my recommendations and things I'm looking forward to in the coming week. So without further ado, let's get on with it. My main pick of last week is the excellent first issue of the Savage Sword of Conan from Titan Comics. It slayed the competition. A very close second is Conan the Barbarian, issue 8, also from Titan. It delivered a very strong conclusion to the second story arc with some atmospherically eye-catching art by Doug Braithwaite and gorgeous colouring by Diego Rodriguez. It's a great time to be a Conan fan, a great time to be reading Conan comics, in my opinion. Okay, up next is my longer review of The Savage Sword of Conan, issue 1. I've been looking forward to this release since I first read about it last year. Titan Comics and Heroic Signatures have already delivered one of the best recent new comics, in my opinion, with Conan the Barbarian. It's currently up to issue 8, which also releases today. Oh my god, can we take it? A double Conan week. So the signs were very encouraging that the creative team at Titan would produce a comic worthy of the name, The Savage Sword of Conan. In this opening issue, we get Conan and the Dragon Horde, a brand new 48-page Conan story written by John Arcudi with art by Max von Fafner. Following this is a new Solomon Kane story. Now, Solomon Kane is pretty new to me, and I've got to say, I really like this. It's written and drawn by Patrick Zurcher. And thirdly, there's also a short story, a prose story by the current Conan writer Jim Zub. I was reading part of an interview with the artist Max von Fafner about this issue, and here's a quote from him. He said, "Because of John Arcudi's story, I had to develop new page layouts and push the boundaries. The challenge was to paint fantasy into reality, and I had to develop new skills on the fly. Because this is a very challenging story." Right, I know what you want to know. How is the comic? Does it stand shoulder to shoulder with the original and classic Savage Sword of Conan series from Marvel and Roy Thomas back in the day? Well, this is only the first issue, of course, but I can honestly say it's off to an absolute blinding start. This issue is an absolute corker. What I'm going to do with this review is I'm not going to go through the whole issue. For one, it's 48 pages. Also, I don't want to spoil anything too much. So I want to give you a little bit of a hint of what's going on, show some of the art, and just talk about what I enjoyed, what I like about it. Also going to show a little bit of the Solomon Kane story after this as well. So first of all, what do you think of this cover by artist Joe Jusko? I think it's fantastic. It reminds me of Boris Vallejo or even Frank Frazetta, that kind of style. Really nice in colour. I think there's a black and white version of this inside the issue, which looks glorious as well. But here we go, let's have a look inside. So, after a quick advertisement for Titan and Heroic Signatures reprints of the original Conan the Barbarian and Savage Sword of Conan series, look at those books. I think they're huge, but they're about $100 each. I wish I could buy them. There's a brief intro of Conan, who he is, what he is, the age he's in, contents page. And then we get a great little essay from Roy Thomas, the legendary editor and writer of the old Savage Sword of Conan series. He's delighted it's back, I'll just say that. But yeah, let's keep going. We see this gorgeous black and white version of the map of the Hyborian Age. Look at the detail here. You can zoom in on the digital version like this. There we go. Hyperborea. We've got Cimmeria there. But yeah, I'm going to get lost in details, but let's keep going. Here's the first surprise I got. We get this gorgeous image of Belit. Is it Belit? The pirate queen. The queen of the Black Coast. And then we're into the story. We're starting. What do we see? Elephants. And a lion. And here's the title page. Conan and the Dragon Horde. So the first image of Conan is here. I love that little light reflection off his armour there. His wrist armour. Conan's a general here. He's traveling with a prince and an army and a beautiful looking companion who we're told is called either Ainir or Ainair. Ainair, let's say Ainair. Some of the detail here in the faces, the characters, very distinctive by the artist. Really like that attention to detail. I like the way the characters look different. Von Fafner's got a really interesting and distinctive style. I like his strong line on the outline of the characters, sometimes on the faces, the details. Let me briefly read out some of the narration here, some of the speech, and give you an idea. Does it sound like Conan to you? We've got the prince saying, "If only your man had exercised that kind of caution with my engineer." Conan replies, "Not my man. You were paying him. If he was too stupid to heed his employer, couldn't have made much of a soldier." "You see, we are in accord. This is good." And then Conan says, "A larger share of your gold mine makes me very agreeable." "Yes," says the prince. "I've found that most often to be the case." And then look at the lion here, the look it's giving Conan. It's classic. I love that. Then we get this lovely view of Ainir here. She's talking about the equipment, the machines that she's traveling with, these weapons. Conan's saying that her way of killing sounds much more complicated than his. All he needs is a strong, sharp blade. Conan asks her if she designed these weapons. She replies, "The truth is, the designs for these devices are very old. I build them, sell them, and then, if I'm paid enough, I maintain them." And then she talks about one that was especially requested for this campaign, a ballista. Or is it pronounced ballista? I think that's what Conan thinks with his reply there. After a week's journey, the army come to this large wooden gate. And this is where the elephants come in handy. They start to push at the gate. Are they going to break through? The narration tells us that this was once the prince's homeland, and he has much insight about it, but more than he is telling Conan, and that begins to worry the general. Now from here, if you've got one of the variant covers, it will have kind of given away this, so it's not really a spoiler. You can guess what's going to happen, can you? Can you guess? Elephant breaks through. Next minute, the elephant comes flying back out, blood pouring from its ripped hide. From behind the huge wooden gate lurches this dragon, this terrifying Saurus. And then let me skip ahead a few pages, just want to show this glorious shot here. Conan is being attacked by two lions. It's just, look at it, look at the art. Great action, great moments of character building here. Look at the expression on his face as the lion chomps down on his helmet. Come on, how epic is this? Conan fighting two lions. Again, let me skip ahead a few pages. I want to show some of the panels here where you've got the artist, Von Fafner, and you see the facial detail he has here, where you've got the prince and Conan talking. I love the perspective he's chosen for the panels. Very close up. Sometimes you don't even see the whole face. But look at the eyes, look at the mouth, the grimace. Again, here's a very brief view of a very sexy scene. Look at that. I'm sure the artist enjoyed drawing her here. And then let me just give you one more example of some of the action in the book. Just great, great panel work here by Von Fafner. Okay, I'll skip to the next section where we get this great page, The Road of Kings by Robert E. Howard. Lovely drawing here. And then we see the page one of the short story by Jim Zub, Sacrifice in the Sand. It's only a two-page story, but it's really good. And here's the black and white version of the cover I was talking about. Do you prefer the color version or the black and white? The Solomon Kane story is called Master of the Hunt, Part 1, as I say, written and drawn by Patrick Zurcher. We open in the Vale of Glamorgan, Wales, and I was so happy to see that. I'm from the UK and like hearing about Wales in a comic book, yeah, that just makes me happy. It's All Hallows Eve and they're asking for a scary story at the pub. This pub's got a great name, it's the Ox Knuckle Inn. And don't forget that All Hallows Eve, or as it was originally known, Samhain, is the night the veil between the seen and unseen worlds is thin, thin as a spider's web. So there's always a danger that something might come through, might slip through the veil. Okay, let me skip through a couple of pages and we get a bit of background on Solomon Kane. We're told that 1,000 years earlier, the rider would have been a knight errant in search of chivalrous adventure. He does not question this wandering life or why he pits himself against the cruel and oppressive. Perhaps he is fulfilling God's judgment. A vessel for his wrath. We learn his horse's name is Nicodemus. Solomon Kane finds a savage dog and a huge footprint, or a paw print is it, in the ground. He stops to help at the scene of slaughter and is offered 2 sixpence, a hot meal and a dry place to sleep. He's staying with a mother and her son. Her husband has gone out hunting to try and track down whatever beast caused this gruesome attack. Okay, skip ahead again. We see the boy has gone out trying to find his father. Is he going to be all right? Okay, let me stop this story summary here. I gotta say, I loved this issue. I had such a good time and such a long time reading it. I felt like I got so much value for my money, paying $6.99, even for the digital version. You know, I've already said I would love to have the physical copy, but it's probably not going to be available where I am. We'll see if I can get one sent over from overseas. But yeah, this was so much fun. It was so well written, beautifully drawn. Great to get the three different stories in there. You know, even one was prose. I still enjoyed it very much. And Max von Fafner's art in the opening story just blew me away. And then again, I love the difference with the Patrick Zurcher art in the Solomon Kane story. You know, nice to have that differentiation, the two styles there. So, giving this a score out of 10, I've got to give this, it's almost a perfect score. I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10. Absolutely loved it. Huge recommend. Do try and get hold of a copy. If you can get a physical copy, even better, I think. So, yeah. Another very strong issue from last week was Duke, issue 3 from Image Skybound. I tell you what, I've talked about this before, but the Energon universe has really won me over. We're only up to issue 3, but this was just so much fun. It's really well written. It's got a distinctive, but I think really good art by Tom Riley. I'm enjoying what Joshua Williamson's writing so far. You've got characters like, of course, the Baroness is in here, Major Blood is in here, Rock and Roll. I don't know, just like so many names that I don't know, but yeah, I'm just enjoying the way the story is building. I'm not sure where it's going to go from here, but it's brutal at times. It's got some great action scenes. It's violent and it's also funny. So yeah, definite recommend. Honorable mentions go to Ice Cream Man, issue 38, Escape from Garyland. Not Greyland, unfortunately, but Garyland. It's a crazy, bizarre, but entertaining and interesting issue of Ice Cream Man. Now, if you know Ice Cream Man, if you've read it before, it's a little bit like The Outer Limits or The Twilight Zone in comics. And it has a distinctive art style as well in it. Some people, for some reason, don't seem to like it that much, but I like it. I think the art style really suits the comic book. And this issue is just a weird story about a land of Garys. Are they clones? Are they like a new kind of race of beings? Why are they doing these menial tasks on my endless repeat and they keep repeating the same tasks every day? Do they know why? Why is one Gary sweeping up leaves where there are no trees in the yard? Things like that. But yeah, it's fun, it's weird, it's different, it makes you think. And yeah, it had a good ending as well. So other honorable mentions are Detective Comics issue 1082. Not the greatest story, not the biggest fan of Ram V, but he's been writing a kind of weird, different, dream-like story in there. It's got really good art, though, by Riccardo Federici. And so worth buying, I think, just for that. Especially seeing these weird style clown jokers, Joker clowns that don't look exactly like the Joker. They're almost like a mix of Spawn characters, the clown from Spawn and the Joker. But yeah, worth looking at those. Kind of Renaissance style as well to them. It is, it's good. The art is very good. It's different. And the story, even though it's kind of been stretched out forever, yeah, it's something different. What else did I have? Yeah, one shout out is only one Marvel book from last week, and that was Avengers Twilight issue 3 by Chip Zdarsky and Daniel Acuña. That stood out from the other Marvel releases because, as I mentioned before, Amazing Spider-Man Gang Boar was a gang boar, and it's just not any fun to read. I'm not reading Thor, and I'm not reading the main X-Men book. So yeah, that was it from Marvel. Only one release, and even Avengers Twilight, you know, it's good, it's decent, but it's not amazing. It doesn't blow me away, but interesting and worth a read.
Well, nice.
Right, let's get on with my picks of the books coming out this week. What do I recommend and what are we looking out for? What are the big releases and what are hopefully going to be really good? Big releases start with the new issue of Batman, issue 145, part one of the Dark Prisons mini-story arc. We've got X-Men 32, Venom 31, and the first pick of the week for me is going to be Ultimate X-Men, issue 1 from Peach Momoko. I want to give this a chance because it's going to be something very different than what we've been getting before. I did quite enjoy Peach Momoko's Demon Days and especially her Star Wars Vision story. That was a really good story. If you can find that, I do recommend it. It says here that she's creating a new generation of X-Men for an all-new universe. Hisako Ichiki is a teenage girl who just wants to live a normal life. Go to school, hang out with friends, ignore the political strife broiling over after the events of Ultimate Invasion, but life has other plans for her. In Japan, urban legends have sprung to life and brought some unusual new powers with them. Meet Armor, Maystorm, and a group of new Ultimate X-Men, the likes of which you've never seen before. This is going to be priced $5.99. It's got 40 pages. What do you think of the main cover here? That's the Momoko main cover. And there are a couple of variants. We have a Peach Momoko design variant, where she's put little notes and things of what she was doing on it. There is an Inyok Lee Armor Virgin variant. Wow, very pink, got to say that. And a Mark Brooks Virgin variant. I heard some rumor that he gets paid, or he charges like $5,000 per cover. Is that right? Good grief. No wonder comics are struggling. Anyway. We also have Poison Ivy 20, The Avengers issue 11, Star Wars issue 44. Still going, eh? I don't know anybody who's reading it, though. If you're reading it, do let me know if it's any good or not. Okay, scroll down to the next row. We have Birds of Prey 7, Shazam issue 9, Doctor Strange number 13. There's a new Spectacular Spider-Men issue 1. Don't know about this. I'll have a look at that in a sec. But my next pick will be, next to that, Gunslinger Spawn issue 29 and King Spawn issue 31. Good grief, they're both coming out on the same day. Both priced at $2.99, so definitely picking those two up. And I'm very curious to see how they're going to be after the big Spawn issue 350. Let's have a quick look at Gunslinger here. It says on the cover, a new ruler, a new artist, a new direction. We've got Todd McFarlane, Carlo Barberi, is that right, on art? But then when I check on the page on League of Comic Geeks, it says Dexter Soy. But I think it's Barberi taking over. Who was he doing them? He was on Spawn, wasn't he, before? So the cover says Barberi, but the solicit here says Dexter Soy. Either way, it's going to be good art. And for Kingspawn 31, we've got written by Todd McFarlane with art by Javier Fernandez, as far as I know. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this is going to be, like how it goes after the big 350, after finally the King of Hell was decided. Who sits on the throne? I won't spoil it here, but you'll find out in the issues. And also, of course, looking forward to the next issue of Spawn, if that comes out, I think, in a couple of weeks. Or it might be the end of the month, but anyway, yeah. Excited for the Spawn universe. I'm back on board. Okay, in the third row of seven comics, we have Void Rivals issue 7. Now, I need to get back into that. I keep hearing it's very good. I did read the first four issues and I was enjoying it. I'm not even sure why I dropped. And we've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin 2, Re-Evolution issue 1. Talk about milking something, but, you know, if it's as good as The Last Ronin, you know, it's going to be worth a look. The only thing that puts me off is the $8.99 price point. Great cover, by the way, gotta say. It says here, image 1 of 25. Does that mean there's 25 variants? Good grief, I'm not going to go through them all. Just have a very quick browse through. Yeah, there are a lot of variants here. Wow, some of them, of course, look amazing. Okay, let's get to the solicit and see what it's all about. Are you a Ninja Turtles fan? If you grew up in the UK, the cartoon was called Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles because the BBC wouldn't allow the word ninja to be used and censored it. Crazy, right? They even changed the theme song. Very clunky way as well. Okay, more than a decade after the last Ronin defeated the Foot Clan, New York City finds itself in a state of steady decline. Now, the disparate gangs vie for economic and political control, and the chaos is taking its toll. It's clear to Casey Marie that if something isn't done soon, the city she knows and loves will be lost forever. So, whether they're ready or not, she and her young pupils must raise a new coalition and lead the charge to keep the peace. Witness the rise of the next generation of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as they fight to restore peace to the streets they live below. Legendary TMNT co-creator Kevin Eastman proudly presents the next epic chapter of The Last Ronin, reassembling the acclaimed creative team from the original Monster bestseller for a second oversized prestige format mini-series event. So as I say, $8.99, it does say 52 pages, we'll have to see. Tom Waltz and Kevin Eastman are down as the two writers. We've got artists credited as Ben Bishop, Esau Escorza, and Isaac Escorza. Colours by Luis Antonio Delgado. As you can see, a lot of it's called open order covers. There's four variants. Incentive covers. There are four. Sorry, I can't count. Five variants. Retail exclusives. This is where it goes insane. You've got like 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 variants. There's even a Stan Sakai, which isn't showing the image, unfortunately. Stan Sakai variant. Wow. Oh, there we go. That's that one. Let me just click on that for a sec. For people who are just listening and not watching, sorry that you can't see it. But yeah, there's a cool looking Stan Sakai Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles variant cover here. Man, if I had money, if I had access to, you know, physical comics, which I don't really, you could go crazy with this, couldn't you? But what do you think? Are you prepared to pay $8.99 for this?
How dare you!
Back to the list, and we have a new number one here. It's a Black Label DC book, The Batman, First Night, issue one, $6.99. I've got to say, I am tempted by this. I am tempted because it's written by Dan Jurgens. It's got art by Mike Perkins, colours by Mike Spicer. That is a pretty decent team, so you know it should be a good story. The art's going to be good. I'm just not sure about the setting because, let me just read about it. The year is 1939. The world, still reeling from the horrors of the First World War, is on the brink of tipping into an even more gruesome conflict as fascism is on the march, gathering strength in America's darkest corners. Against this backdrop, a series of violent murders has begun in Gotham, and the recent emergence of the mysterious vigilante known as the Batman, with a hyphen by the way, has the power brokers of the city living in fear of institutional collapse. All of the evidence in the murder investigation defies logic. The perpetrators are all men who died in the electric chair. But when the Batman comes face to face with one of those sickening anomalies, he barely escapes with his life. That's a long solicit, by the way, but I've got to say, I am excited by the sound of this. What do you think? Are you curious? Are you going to jump on board? Gorgeous cover there, the main cover. I think that's by main artist, is it? Mike Perkins. There's a Ramon Perez variant with a close-up of Batman, the spotlight on him, like a yellow moonlight kind of spotlight behind him. There's a really cool Mark Aspinall pulp novel variant, which looks like the cover of an old 1930s or 40s amazing, you know, fantasy cover, or what the old pulp tales, weird tales, that kind of thing. When killers strike from beyond the grave, only a monster can save a city of monster men. That is a pretty dope variant, gotta say. And one more, it has a Jacob Phillips variant. Ooh, okay, interesting. The son of the classic, the legendary, Sean Phillips. Okay, back to the comics. I'm going to keep going now, scroll down, not shout out too many more, just to see if there's anything else that's going to intrigue Grey to pick, spend some money on, to read. Not really. Nothing really jumping out. Kneel Before Zod issue 3 comes out, but I've not really been enjoying that. It's been just okay. There's a giant-sized Spider-Gwen issue 1 for $6.99. Nah, you're okay. Okay, there's an interesting one here, which I did actually read the first couple of issues. It's Image Comics called Crave issue 4 by Maria Lovett. Kind of sexy, strange, intriguing story. Might be worth a look if you're interested in something different. Otherwise, I'm down to the next row. The Batman and Scooby-Doo Mysteries issue 3 is kind of making me laugh with a kind of nod to the old Adam West Batman series where they're climbing up the wall, you know. They weren't really climbing. Okay, the one more row down and there's nothing else that's really jumping out to me, but I will scroll through slowly, I can speak. Anything for you there? Ooh, Jennifer Blood, Battle Diary. Actually, the last issue was pretty decent. I read that just as a one-off to see, and it was good. We're going down again. A couple of Betty and Veronica comics for some reason. Lady Death, Demonic Omens issue 1, $4.99. And that's about it. Okay.
You're fond of me lobster, ain't you?
Okay, that's about it. I hope you enjoyed that kind of waffly recommendation list from me. A couple of big releases next week. I'm curious if you're going to be picking up Ultimate X-Men. We'll see how that goes. A lot of people aren't sure it's going to be what they're looking for with an X-Men title, but give it a chance. It's something new. It's something different. It could be great. I'm hopeful. Also, that Batman, is it First Night? I'm looking forward to trying that. I want to see how good the art is. It looks amazing on the few pages I've seen. I think Jim from Weird Science was saying he might have read a review copy, and he rates it as far as I know. But don't quote me on that, okay? And yeah, good to see a couple of Spawn books out. So Kingspawn, Gunslinger Spawn, I'll be pulling those for sure. And that's about it. So, as always, thank you so much for watching or listening this far. I really do appreciate it. I love getting the comments off you. If you fancy leaving a comment, that would make my day. That would be really, really good. And I do answer the comments. And yeah, do drop your lists in the comments. Let me know what you enjoyed from last week and what you're looking forward to this coming week. I hope to see you in a future video. This has been Gray from Wakizashi's Tea House, signing off for the evening. Matane.